The book of Revelation in chapter 19. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think that the Lord desires for us to be overcomers. And when we think of this, he says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And since he is overcome, he has set it the example. He has made it possible for us to be overcomers. He encourages us to be overcomers. And he is the one that's going to assess whether or not we are overcomers. It's not us who assess it. It ought to be our desire to be an overcomer. But there is coming a day when he will assess that, whether or not we were indeed overcomers. And in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, I've been looking at the four songs of wonder in the book of Revelation. It's an amazing thing to think that there are four songs of wonder and awe of the person of Christ in the book of Revelation. The first one, of course, is chapter 4. The next one is chapter 5. The next one is in chapter 11 with in concerning him as king. The first one is connected to him being in awe of him as creator. The next one is being in awe of him as redeemer. The third one in Revelation 11 is to be in awe of him as king. And then this one here in Revelation 19, to be in awe of him as the bridegroom. And you know, to think the wonderful thing that is going to take place in a coming day, and we are going to be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, it's been God's desire. Think of this. It's always been God the Father's desire to have a bride for his son. He has always desired. And from the very beginning of Scripture, we see that we see pictures and examples of such a desire in the heart of God the Father. In Genesis, we see with Eve, we see a beautiful picture of the work for that bride. The work for that one who was made fit to be made fit for her bridegroom, if you will. We see that Adam was put to sleep, a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that out of that, out of his death, as it were, Eve was built. And you know, when we think of that, Eve was built. Creation was created, but Eve was built. First time God ever built anything was the woman. I'm thinking he did a pretty good job, don't you? And when you think about it, the same thought that God built out of Adam, God built. When we come into the New Testament, we see that God is still building today. He's building his church. He's building what we've been studying about in the book of Revelation. He's building a company for his son. Think of it. And so, just that connection. And so we see in Eve a beautiful picture of what the work for the son. But then when we come to Rebecca, a few chapters down the road, in chapter 24, we see in Rebecca that bride for Isaac. We see in Rebecca a beautiful picture, not of the work for the bride, but the work in the bride, drawing out her affections for Isaac. It's a beautiful picture. And so when we come here now into chapter 19, we see the culmination of God's desire for his son to have a bride for himself. It's beautiful. And we've been studying the Lord Jesus as that one dressed in jeweled disheveled garment, going through the churches, walking through the churches, assessing the churches as such. And we see him giving the judgment in each place, or the commendation, as it were. And then when we come here to chapter 19, we see the culmination of it all. And it's beautiful because it shows us that, yes, indeed, the assessment has taken place. But just before we get to that, look it down in chapter 19, verse 1. I had made mention earlier today that there are four hallelujahs in this chapter. And the first one is that hallelujah that judgment has been given. It's a hallelujah of salvation. Notice in verse 1, it says, after these things I heard a loud voice and a great multitude of heaven in heaven saying, hallelujah. Means praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot. We spoke about that earlier off this morning. We tied that in with Thyatira, and we saw that false church, that false bride, that false wife, as it were, the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And again, they said, the second one, they said, hallelujah! Her smoke rises forever and ever. Now, the first hallelujah is a hallelujah connected to salvation, that salvation belongs to the Lord, and it's connected to the glory and honor and power that belong to the Lord. The second one, then, is connected to the fact that this judgment, as true and righteous as it is, and we made mention of that, now he says, hallelujah, because her smoke rises forever. It's a hallelujah victory that Christ has won the day. Now, for us, he won the day at Calvary. Amen? But there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. There's going to come a day when all that, and this takes place before the bowing of the knee, but all that has raised up against him, that opposes him, that would not be fitting for him, is done away with. Complete victory. And so we see here there's a hallelujah of victory. And then notice down in verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. It was mentioned, Greg, it was mentioned, amen. Well, here's an amen. Let it be so, praise the Lord, is what is being said here. Let it be so. Let the judgment of the harlot be so. Her smoke is rising. It's an hallelujah of victory, knowing that it says forever and ever, that judgment is going to go, and forever and ever, into all eternity, there's going to be a reminder. Now for us, there's going to be a reminder all eternity that we're going to look at the prince in his hands. And we're going to look at the wound in his side. And we're going to see that he suffered and died for us. But he says that smoke rising up forever and ever, meaning that it's eternally done. It's eternally judged. It's an amazing thing. And then he goes on to say the next one, the last hallelujah is in verse 6. But verse 5 says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude and the sound of many waters and as the sound of the mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And this is the hallelujah of the omnipotence of God. But there's one thing I want to mention connected, back up if you would, to the third one. Back up if you would to verse 4. Did you notice he says the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne. It's the last time in the book of Revelation that the 24 elders are mentioned. It's the last time. Do you remember the first time they're mentioned? In chapter 4. It's the first time they're mentioned. In chapter 4, it's connected with worship. In chapter 19, the last time, it's connected to worship. There's much we could say about the 24 elders, but just to say, they represent 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, if you will. It represents those, for us, it would represent the church. The 12 would represent the church. And so we see a beautiful picture here of those 24 elders, but it's the last time it's mentioned. Now, why is that so significant? Because in connection with the church isn't seen any longer in the book of Revelation as 24 elders, as part of the 24 elders. Now they're seen as the Lamb's wife that has made herself ready. And that's what we want to get to. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. Think of it. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That which was in the heart of God in eternity past. That which God was in God's heart, God's desire for his son to have a company for himself has come. And his wife has made herself ready.